Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to campusradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. How was your holiday?
Well, it was fabulous. Really, in my heart, I'm still eating paella.
Are you?
On a beach.
Wouldn't it be easier to eat it with your mouth?
Well, possibly, you know, but in body.
Were you eating this paella up your Alp in Spain?
You know, I've not ever been really good on geography, have I?
Quite clearly.
Listener, he was listening to my superior show at 11 to 12, which is the Scoff and Quaff show, where we had brilliant guests, Seed and Bean Organic Chocolate, who had just been stopped in Waitrose. And we also had a lovely, lovely lady who's bringing in some supplements for us, which we're going to be trying out.
That'll be Shirley from Zingology, wouldn't it?
Zingology,
that's what I said, wasn't it?
Gives you a zing.
Yeah.
But I mentioned my because I've never had a pilot say that to me before.
Really?
No. He actually said, Jules, you're in for a rocky ride.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He did. And over, of course, there was a lot of flatulence going over.
Flatulence?
What do they call it?
Flatulence in Luke.
A lot of turbulence going over.
Flatulence.
What I thought were the Alps.
I tell you, that happens a lot in planes, doesn't it?
It's all the aioli and the paella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But okay. At least all those people cooped up. No, it was turbulence going over the mountains. But I thought it was the Alps. But it would start
off. It would be the Pyrenees, I would have thought.
Yeah.
As you were flying from Spain to the UK, I'm pretty sure it would have been the Pyrenees.
And, you know,
and I'm pretty sure it would have been turbulence.
You know, you've got lovely Pyrenees.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You only did that so you could do that really, really
but
wrong joke.
Pardon me for saying, but doesn't it go from Spain as you cruise over, then you get into from the Pyrenees to the Alps? Surely they're all one way.
Unless you're going round the long way.
Well, it seems like a long ride. It was 2 hours.
No, you really, trust me on this, Jules, you don't cross the Alps on your way from Spain.
Well, we flew over France.
So?
Well, don't the Alps go into France?
Yes, they
do. Mais
oui. Dear, oh dear.
Should we do a road trip?
Dear, oh dear.
A Business Bunker road trip.
Yeah.
It was never my strong part. We didn't have a good geography teacher, you know.
Yeah.
And I went to a rough comp.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsors, who are Phoenix Analysts Limited.
Oh.
They're a limited company with over 10 years of combined experience that specialise in business analysis, business transformation, feasibility studies, commissioning and procurement. One of the key aspects of their work is to identify potential for improving levels of efficiencies, whether this be in business practices, current procedures, or getting better use out of IT systems.
Yeah, they can identify it so well.
What?
You say it so well what they do.
Yeah, they identify cost savings and potential loss of revenue, and you can find out all about them by going to their website, which is Phoenix Analysts Limited, and that's the full word, LIMITED.com. And you can find a link to their website on the Kent Business Radio website, as you can for everything you were here on the show today, all of our guests and all of the people that contribute. We will put links to their websites, Twitter accounts, Facebook pages, and everything else on the Kent Business Radio website.
KentBusinessRadio.co.uk.
You don't say it as well as
I think
me.
Your clangers on. I just heard you clang. You pinged something in your bag.
No, should be off.
You sure you're on silent?
Yeah, it should be off. Wasn't me.
Okay.
I don't even know where my phone is.
Well,
it's in my pocket. That'll be why.
Very dapper you look too. Yeah. Listen, if you can see, he's in a little three-piece today.
Thank you.
It's like Brer Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, we'll read an email then.
Sally for Cakes, she said that she's really pleased to announce she's based in Whitstable and was actually made the cakes for my wedding.
Which one?
Fabulous, my wedding.
My
new husband.
Your latest one.
Yeah, my new husband.
Right.
So they were lovely. They were chocolate with little strawberries on top, cupcakes, huge ones, and lemon drizzle, of course. Anyway, she's pleased to announce that she's going to be doing some more cake classes in November and December at Quite Contrary, which is a lovely tea cake shop based in Tankerton. And the first class, says Sally, will be based on the 28th of November. Sorry, it'll be held even. And they'll be baking and decorating a Christmas wreath sponge cake. Well, that's unusual, isn't it? Because normally you'd have a fruit cake, wouldn't you, for Christmas?
Yeah. Hey, why not do something different? Go for it, Sal.
Yeah.
No problem.
Well, for me, she might do a little bit of lemon drizzle.
Yeah.
And then on the 5th...
Because that's your one weakness, really, isn't it?
It's my one weakness. Mm. Apart from seed and bean chocolate, which was very tasty.
Yeah, which you devoured.
It was very tasty.
Yeah.
Followed by a salad.
Yeah. Then lunch any time now.
Yeah, if we can just get through this. Then on the 5th of
December...
That'll
be a miracle.
We'll be baking and decorating Christmas cupcakes. I might take my mum to this. This sounds lovely. And lastly, on the 12th of December, they'll be holding a class in how to make a cake with a picture of a snowman inside. So that sounds like you open up the cake, Paul Anders, and the snowman pops out.
Really?
Well, she said snowman inside. Well, there's no website, but there's nibbles and there's tea and coffee, and she looks forward to seeing you. And she's also put a kiss at the end. But I would go on to sallyforcakes.co.uk, I think it is, mm-hmm. and I'm sure
that's
details.
Sally with a number 4.
Yeah, number 4. And quite contrary is next to Sermons in Tanton High, which is my lovely butcher's.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. Hey, listen, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in Kent and the southeast of England.
Good.
And in fact, if Jill's listening in Washington, D.C., or Turkey, because I think Jill's is in Turkey.
I think she's in Maryland, Cookie Land.
Yes, she is, yeah.
Is that Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, well, kind of. She's in Maryland, but Washington's just around the corner.
And you know the Josie Maguire's listening in.
Yeah, from Turkey, yeah. So, international show day today.
Nibbling on a bit of donkey cheese, no doubt.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Our guests nearly spat their water out.
They've obviously not been paying attention. We've cornered the market in donkey cheese on the show.
Anyway. Oh, I've got a very sad story. You won't want to hear it because you'll be ratty because you want to get on. But one thing about Spain is they're not nice to their animals in general. And two little donkeys in a very hot sort of scrub land bit in the thing. No shelter, no water. Mm. And it was very sad. So I'm going to do something about it.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, the stuffed donkey you bought me, you left on the tarmac at Alicante Airport, didn't you?
I'm still trying to get the sombrero, but you know with the hand luggage thing, you've got to put your handbag in your hand luggage.
I know. Anyway, can I carry on with what I was saying now?
If you must.
We'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there, and you can get in touch with us on a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998, that's 01303 874 998, or you can email us at bunker@kempersisradio.co.uk, but by far and away the easiest way to interact with us while we're live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and we have had a few dozen tweets in already, so do keep them coming. And I'm going to start with a couple of tweets that we had earlier. Cinnamon Culture, who say, woo-hoo! In addition to 5-star hygiene rating from the London Borough of Bromley last week, we scored 98% by diversity. Kudos to the kitchen team. So that's Cinnamon Culture over there in the Bromley area of Kent. Well done on that award.
Fabulous food. They were guests on the Scoff and Quaff, the Superior Show.
Oh, were they?
Last year, yeah. Fabulous food. So well deserved.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done, guys. We've also had a tweet from the Kent Deaf Children's Society who say, we have days out, indoor play, info sessions, youth groups, Xmas panto, and an Xmas party, fun days, and we offer full support and family signing and lots more. And that's the Kent Deaf Children's Society. And you can follow them on the Twitter and find out more about it by following them at kdcs.org, all one word, kdcs.org, on the Twitter, and you can find out about them. I think we've got a link to their website as well on the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website. So do have a look at that and support them. They're a lovely charity that support children with hearing problems. So do try and help them out.
County Clothes Menswear in Canterbury and Tenterden have been voted the Independent Retailer of the Year by the Independent Menswear Consortium for the second year running.
I buy my clothes there.
Do you get your winkle pickers from there?
I get all kinds of things from there.
Really?
Mm.
So that's a brilliant thing. So what road are they on? The High Street?
They're on the High Street in Tenterden, and they're on, I can't remember, I think it's St Margaret Street in Canterbury.
Okay.
I think.
Because you also go to Canterbury Revivals, don't you?
I do. That's a vintage shop owned by the lovely Debbie Barwick. Mm. But I get most of my new clothes from County Clothes in Tenterden.
Excellent. Well done on that award, guys. That's really good. Send us some more details.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Tracy Crowther as well. Hello, Tracy. I haven't spoken to you for ages and ages and ages. And she says, VanillaWeb, that's me. David Rees-Williams, who is a jazz pianist extraordinaire, and the Chamber Orchestra, I think that's the Canterbury Chamber Orchestra, have Bach and Handel with a twist. Blimey, that's a Beatles number, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
Chubby
yeah.
Checker.
Yeah.
Chubby Checker, played by the Chamber Orchestra.
Yeah.
Don't think that'll work.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's really what she means. It's on the 11th of October, and it's St Peter's in Canterbury. So, again, if you want to find out more about that, you can follow Tracy on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Crowther, C-R-O-W-T-H-E-R, underscore T. And I happen to know Tracy's husband Ian owns the music shop in
Crowther's
in
Northgate.
What's the road? Northgate. That's the chat.
See, when
in
you
Northgate.
Did that, I knew exactly.
You knew
what
exactly.
Meant.
As soon as I did that, you knew exactly where
you
I'm.
See,
in.
Listener, you just did that.
Yeah, I
and
just
I
did
knew.
That, and she knew.
Yeah,
it's in Northgate.
And so may I say, I bought many a CD from Crowther's.
Have you?
And you can go in there and you say, well, I say, I'd like some sort of little violin, something to stretch my brain, you know, that gentle music. Because you know when you listen to Classic FM, Paul?
Something to stretch your brain.
Yeah, we know when you listen to Classic FM and you listen to something gorgeous
and
you think, this is lovely, you've got it really loud. Yeah. And then they suddenly change it and they play all that mad, wild music, or monks singing, which is really depressing. So I like to have a little CD playing when I'm doing my photography. I find it stretches my brain.
Do you?
A little bit of cello.
Really?
So Crowther's, very good. Councils are failing to inform small firms about business rate refunds. Mm. This was posted on the 16th of September by Paul. I wonder who Paul is.
That'll be me then.
Oh, you posted this.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your blog I'm reading out?
Could well be.
Oh no. I shall check it for spelling. Over 90% of local authorities in England are failing to inform small firms that they could claim for a backdated refund under the Small Business Rate Relief Scheme. And this is according to a recent study by chartered surveyors Bankier Sloan. Firms based in a single property with a rateable value of less than 18,000, for example, may be eligible for a refund. I put that example in, you didn't like that. Which can be backdated to April 2010. However, most of the 280 local authority websites reviewed as part of the study did not make this clear. So further research to track progress will be conducted in 2015. Very interesting.
Cool.
Money there for grabs.
Absolutely. And, you know, you need to know about that.
You do.
You know, because they do not publicise it very well.
Yeah, so a rateable value of less than 18,000 is what you need to look for a single property.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Stuart Saffrey.
Hello.
And Stuart is a DJ of this parish that does probably the best Saturday morning show we have on the radio. Oh, it'd be the only Saturday morning show we have on the radio. No, it's a really cracking show called Saturday Selection, which he does at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning. And last Saturday, Stuart had a guest who was Connor's mum. And Connor is a young lad that has had some medical problems, and they were talking about that. And it was one of the most moving interviews I've heard for a long, long time.
Aww.
And I'd encourage you to go and listen to it. You can listen to it on the channelradio.co.uk listen again site. If you go into channelradio.co.uk, listen again Saturday, and then pick Stuart Saffrey's Saturday Selection and listen to last Saturday's show again. It's an absolutely moving and inspiring story. Listen to Connor's mum and find out about supporting Connor. Please do that.
And another a thing that I find quite interesting is that there are very easy ways to listen to the show. You can download it, which is what I think is good. Download it, then you've got your headphones, you can listen on the move.
Yep.
Or just play it in your car.
Yep.
But you can sit in a deck chair, you can walk the dog, you can be cooking, chopping
up.
Could
you walk the dog while sitting in a deck chair?
Not really, depends on your dog,
that wouldn't work really, would it?
Depends on the kind of dog.
You could have a long lead. You could sit in a deck chair and
those
have a dog on a
leads.
Really long lead and send the dog off and come back and dog off and come back. Yeah, that would
those
work.
Elastic leads.
That would work.
But frankly, the state I'm in at the moment, I don't think many deck chairs I could sit in, do you?
I'm not even going to remotely
possibly
get involved in that conversation.
My son said he'd never seen my hips look so white. My 18-year-old. That's
really
sad, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't be that rude to you, Jules.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, because I know you're a martyr to your gluten intolerance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, seed and bean has got no gluten
that
in it.
That and eating 400 weight of chocolate this morning.
It's my job.
Yeah, and 7 bottles of Carver for breakfast.
Well,
but apart from that, you're a martyr to your gluten.
It's my job. I tell you what I fancy.
Yeah.
A little bit of Dutch.
No, don't. We haven't got enough time.
A little bit of Dutch cheese. A little bit of Edam.
Why?
I don't know. I've just got a feeling about Edam and Dutch cheese. You know, Rotterdam,
we'll
you could get
on
it there, couldn't you?
Yeah, you see, you think you're being smart, don't you? Because you think I'm going to play a song, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to play some tunage, and you know what I'm going to play, don't you?
A bit of cheesy songs.
Yeah.
Well, Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay, and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531-777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
See, I threw you there, didn't I?
Well, it's your button, isn't it?
I played your advert instead.
It's your new button, isn't
it? Yeah. So you want to hear this bit of tunage?
A bit of cheesy Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah, see. I wonder why I felt so hungry.
Yeah.
But Edam.
Beautiful South.
Do you eat the right
wine? It doesn't mention Edam at all. It
doesn't
says
it?
Rotterdam, which
Clogs?
Has nothing to do with cheese whatsoever.
Clogs?
In the wind and tuck the hair like they're trying to prove it won't fall out. And all the men are gargoyles dip long in Irish stout. The whole place is pickled, the people are pickles for sure. And no one knows that they've done more here than they ever would do in a jar. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome. Cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. And everyone is blonde and everyone is beautiful. And when blonde and beautiful are multiple, they become so dull and dutiful. And when faced with dull and dutiful, they fire red warning flares, battle cocky personality with red underwear. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome. Cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. The people are pickles for sure. And no one knows that they've done more here than they ever would do in a jar. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome. Cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome. Cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. Anywhere alone. Alone, alone. Ooh, this could be Rotterdam.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 23rd of September with me, Paul Andrews, and her over there. That was a beautiful South of Rotterdam without a mention of cheese anywhere.
Clogs? Clogs. I'm sure there was a clog in there somewhere.
There was probably a clog in there, but it was completely Edam free. anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome today's first guest back onto the show. Was on a few weeks ago, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Teresa Scott, Chief Executive of Kennedy Scott. Teresa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's lovely to be here. It's always such fun.
Yeah, that's not what we say. We're trying to be serious, but it just doesn't work sometimes. But it's lovely to welcome you back. Thank you so much. Just for those listeners that didn't hear you last time you were on, give us some background to what Kennedy Scott's all about, and then we're going to talk about the kind of celebrations and things that are going on as well.
Sure. Thank you very much. Kennedy Scott have been running 25 years, offering help to unemployed people across Kent, Sussex, Surrey, London, the South East. We've grown quite considerably in the last few years. And we've got a whole range of events going on to celebrate our 25th anniversary. But we essentially work with the long-term unemployed who, for one reason or another, have found themselves in that situation where they haven't got a job and they haven't had a job for a while in some cases. It is not what the popular press would have us believe, that they don't want to work. The majority of them are desperate to get back into work and change their lives. So we work on all sorts of things, the motivation, the CV, we look at skill transfer, and we also work with people with specific problems like homelessness and substance abuse, and we refer them to specialist agencies so they get all the support they can at the same time as looking for work.
Cool. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of myths perpetrated about the whole unemployment situation, about one, why people are unemployed, and also from my point of view, one of my big pet hates is that people think that because there's a number of unemployed people that the problem is there's not enough jobs, and of course that's not true remotely. There's thousands of jobs, and in fact we have some massive skill shortages. What we have is a mismatch in terms of how people go about getting work and how they gain experience and skills, and that's where an organisation like yours comes in, really, isn't it, and makes a big difference.
We certainly try to. Do you think it's a British thing that we're very self-effacing and we don't like to put ourselves forward, and we're not very good at selling ourselves or marketing our skills, and actually sometimes it needs somebody else to take a good look at your past and say, you've got all these things to offer. There are loads of jobs out there you could do, and really put them back on the right road.
No, absolutely. It's you're absolutely right. It's about transferable skills. People that don't have work experience think they don't have experience, and nothing could be further than the truth. We all have experience, and we all have talents, and we all have skills. It's uncovering those and putting them across in the right way. Exactly as you said, it's about being willing to sell them and also getting help, because, you know, people do need help. You know, even those people that have been in the job market really struggle with changing jobs now, because the whole way that the job market works has changed. You want to ask something, Jules?
Well, I was going to ask Teresa, what kind of age group are you looking at? Are you looking from all age ranges?
Yeah, absolutely, 18 to 65.
Okay, so the...
So you scrape in on the top there, Jules?
I do, darling, I do. The 65-year-old would bring all that maturity and probably calm in a situation that might phase a younger person, perhaps.
Absolutely, we don't have an age limit on our own staff. We've had staff go on to work until they're 70 and beyond. And actually, if you look at some of the politicians and specialists, consultants in the world, they carry on working past 60, 65. So there's a lot of experience out there to
all look at Paul.
Exactly. It's another one of those myths that's been exploded or needs to be exploded. Once upon a time, those of us in our middle years would struggle to find work. Nothing could be further from the truth at the moment. Actually, people in their middle years are in big, big demand, because they tend to be... There's some other reasons that we go into, because they're politically incorrect. But there's also, they tend to have a work ethic, they tend to be robustly healthy, they tend to be incredibly loyal and trustworthy. And in fact, that has changed, and quite often in the job market now, it's easier to get a job in your middle years than it is as a young person just starting out.
And what about, Teresa, with people that are perhaps homeless, or, you know, they're pretty broke, or they haven't got money and a job? How do you help them with appearance and clothing and that sort of stuff? Is there anything you can do there?
We do. We have a budget for each centre, and we can spend some money on presenting them for interview. But we do actually keep a stock in most of our centres of interview clothes that we can loan
Fantastic
out.
And
we
idea.
We have them cleaned after they have been used,
and then
all of those things we can help with. If you need boots to go and work on in a construction job, we can make sure you're supplied with those. When somebody gets a job and they haven't got any money to get to the job, we can provide travel costs for the first couple of weeks. And we do, as I said, we work with specialist agencies who are, you know, much more experienced in working with the homeless, our friends here at Porchlight, a whole range of people, substance abuse.
And let's face it, Kent is not known for easy transport, is it? So if you've got no money, you can't afford a car to buzz about in. Train links and buses are not great.
It's like a lot of places. I mean, Kent is still a fairly rural county, you know, although we have big towns and a couple of cities. A lot of the population still live in rural areas, and rural transport is a big issue, especially if you're unemployed and you couldn't possibly afford a car. You know, what do you do? Your public transport's terrible. Yeah. Even in some of the big cities, public transport's terrible. Yeah. I mean, well, there's a lot of people agitating in Canterbury, for goodness sake, Canterbury, for a bus service that isn't there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you try going from Canterbury to Ashford, or I don't know about Ashford, but Tunbridge Wells or something like that. It's impossible to get to.
I mean, Canterbury's not too bad because you've got two railway stations there and, you know, you've got a high-speed train and all those kind of things. But there are rural areas around... all of our towns and cities in Kent, where the mass of the population live, that find it really difficult to travel. Mm.
And that can cause problems.
Absolutely.
That definitely can. There are people that will be willing to work and go further if they could access those places.
But, you know, where we are, we were talking about this off air earlier, where we are now, down here on Romney Marsh, we have a massive unemployment problem here because there aren't very many employers. 8 miles up the road is Ashford, where they have a massive skill shortage and they can't fill all the jobs, but there's no public transport between the two places. So people have got no hope of actually getting over there to take the jobs. It's ridiculous.
And the price of driving lessons nowadays for a young person is pretty prohibitive, I would have thought.
But also through centres, you can meet somebody else who lives in your vicinity who might, you know, then get a job and will be travelling, and you can car share.
Yeah.
So we do...
Do you try and organise things like that? Do you introduce
It's normally in an informal basis,
yeah, of course,
because people do get together in a centre. If they're coming for a while, which and a lot of them are incredibly committed and they will spend a lot of time in the centre job searching with the support of the ECs in each centre, and they get to know other people. They look out for jobs for each other. It's a great support network.
Right. ECs.
And then that can happen. Employment consultants.
Thank you.
They are our specialist staff who are trained to all sorts of things. Motivate, produce very professional CVs. They run training workshops on how to market yourself, where to look for the work. We use Jobs in Kent. That's a fantastic resource for us. There's a lot out there. It really is a full-time job when you're unemployed, finding a job.
Yeah, it is. Especially now, because, you know, there's just so many different ways you can go about doing things. There's so many different types of roles that you can do, and people aren't aware of it. And there's no reason why they should be. It's not a lack of anything in the people that are searching. It's just the nature of the world has changed. Okay, so 25 years old.
I was a child.
I was going to say, how did that happen?
I was very young. It's a young enterprise.
Exactly.
Project. I wish.
Say it's your silver anniversary. And you've got an event going down fairly soon.
Yes, we have an event tomorrow in Maidstone at Miller House in Lower Stone Street. That's 43 to 51 Lower Stone Street, Maidstone. And we've got a whole host of people going along. We've got some employers popping in. In fact, I think Mr. Andrews is coming himself.
I will be
which
there.
Which is wonderful.
I will be there.
And it's going to be an opportunity for people who want to find out what we do to pop in, for employers to pop in and see how we work with employers, a whole host of people.
So we would encourage employers, who mostly make up the audience of this show, to get along to Miller House in Lower Stone Street, Maidstone tomorrow. What time does it kick off? Is it 10 o'clock? I can't remember. I don't know what time I'm going to be there. I won't be up with him.
You'll slope in, won't you, in your paisley smoking jacket.
Exactly, yeah.
It's 11 till 2.
11 till 2. See, I told you I wouldn't be there at 10, and I was right. So if you're an employer in the Mid-Kent area, do get along and show yourself at the Kennedy Scott offices. They are your offices.
They are dedicated offices.
Yeah, in Miller House in Lower Stone Street tomorrow from 11 till 2. Do come along. I'll be there so we can have a chat when you get there. That'll be cool. And what kind of things are you going to be looking at there tomorrow?
Particularly SMEs. We're very keen to get more SMEs through the door. However small you think the job is, do bring it along and we can talk to you about how we can work with you to fill it. We can actually run training courses before we put anybody forward for selection. We call that like a pre-employment program, where you coach somebody through the whole process. You make sure they are particularly well prepared for that interview, so that they are selling themselves and highlighting the past skills. that you might need for the job. So we talk a lot with employers about how that would work with them. And if it's a customer, then we would have an employment consultant available to talk to them about the sort of support we can give them and the agencies that we also work with to support them as well.
Cool. I'll just see a tweet go through out of the corner of my eye from Miriam McGirt, and she says, totally agree, so transport is a real problem when you're looking for jobs in rural areas.
Well, especially when she's in Turkey.
And she's in Turkey at the moment.
Awfully long way to go.
And the bus service from there to my son is just appalling.
Well, she'd probably be on a little rickshaw or something, wouldn't she?
Go.
Or those sedan chairs.
Yeah, something like that. Probably, anyway.
Probably Chris Pollard carries her.
Probably.
Down
on
the mountain.
On his shoulders, coming back to the sensible stuff that Teresa was talking about, you're absolutely right, and SMEs, small businesses, are the target now. This is one of my favourite factoids, is that 70% of all employees in the private sector are now employed by companies with less than 50 employees. So small is the future, and I'd do a whole series of talks about that in all kinds of other contexts, but small is definitely where it's all happening. And small businesses are growing like mad. There are now over 62,000 small businesses in Kent, 4.6 million in the country. They're employing most of the people, and that will continue to be the pattern. The difficulty for organisations like yours and Porchlight and all the other organisations that help people is, of course, it's harder to deal with hundreds and hundreds of small businesses rather than one great big one that employs loads of people. But that is the pattern of the future, and that's where it's going to be happening. And that's why we need more small businesses to come to events like yours tomorrow and make themselves known and to build relationships with these organisations.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you now, apprenticeships, is that an area that Kennedy Scott are involved in?
Yes, we can help people and point them in the right direction for apprenticeships. We ourselves work with a company across the area on our own apprenticeship schemes. We have our own apprentices in every centre, and we're actually using that as a progression path to move people on through the company. So we're growing our own through apprenticeships, and it's hugely successful. We've had two of our apprentices win awards the last 2 years running, and we wholeheartedly support that way in. There are lots of opportunities there.
What awards were they?
Learner of the Year. We had one of our managers actually win an award as well.
Fantastic.
For managing that process.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Apprenticeships is one of those things that has been a bit slow to take off, but all of a sudden in the last 18 months or so, it's really grabbed hold of people's imagination. And again, it's because small businesses were very wary, because it is a bit of a top-down process, or it was originally, and small businesses were very wary, and it took them a long time to kind of gird their loins and adopt it. But having done that, over the last 18 months, I've seen a huge surge in small businesses being very interested in taking on apprentices, and that is a really good thing, because it's not onerous, it's not a big problem. And also, I believe somebody here may know better than me, there was a time when the government were going to end the subsidies, but I think they've extended that, and I can't remember till when, but they've definitely extended it, because it was due to end in the next 18 months or so, but they've announced that they're going to extend it, so that's cool too.
No, there are all sorts of opportunities there, and our staff can also advise on how a company would go about claiming some of those subsidies for young people
That's a really interesting thing. So if you're a small business out there and you want to just know about apprenticeships and what's available and how to do it and what it's all about, even if you're not ready to go for it yet, they could talk to your guys in your regional offices and they will give them some advice, because you have offices all around the place, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got four offices across Kent.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of interest, we have placed 2,550 people into sustainable jobs in Kent in the last 4 years.
That's amazing.
So that's pretty good numbers, and that's just Kent.
Yeah.
And it is working.
Mm. I get the feeling that there's a little bit more to this than just the business. There's a lot of TLC going into what you're all doing there.
Mm.
I think that is critical, because these people have lost faith in themselves.
Mm. Yeah.
And your staff have to have that faith for them until they get it back and they get their confidence back. So we do recruit people based on their approach to the customer. Respect is really a foremost in our minds when we're recruiting staff.
As a woman, just taking time out to have kids, which, you know, I've had three. And
you're a lady.
Yes, I'm a lady.
You're a lady.
I am
She's a lady.
But I stayed at home with my kids because that was the sort of way I wanted to be a mum. And quite old-fashioned now, perhaps. But going back to the work environment, when you've been at home for sort of 15 years doing meals and sitting down doing puzzles with them and things, it's quite daunting, and you do lose. And it's also about the way you dress. You know, when you're at home, you're in your trackies or your onesie. Paul's always in his onesie. But then you go back to work, and you've got to up your game, and you've suddenly got to start wearing nail varnish, doing your hair, and, you know.
Yeah.
Stop.
I know. Found that.
Did you?
I couldn't decide what colour of varnish to wear. Yeah.
And your hair
was fabulous. I just needed help. I needed help, and I looked at my fingernails, and then I looked at my toes, and I thought, I'll give up. I just don't know.
You had a good old buff, didn't you?
What works?
Serenity Becker, she sorted you out.
Absolutely.
Microdermabrasion,
yeah. Sorry.
Could I just say on a serious note that a lot of women who have been in that position have tremendous organisational skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
So come and see us, because we can identify the skills that you've got and what you can offer an employer. And if you want to work part-time, there are lots of part-time jobs out there too.
The hardest job I ever did was being at home with babies. And, you know, you've got the milk boiling over, the baby crying, the dog being sick on the floor, and you've got to deal with it all.
It's absolutely true. It is absolutely true. People think it's a bit trite, but transferable skills are everything. Mm. And one of the lovely things now about this move towards small businesses, it's entirely those kind of skills and that kind of attitude that small businesses desire. Because the issue with a small business is they can't afford to silo. They can't afford to pigeonhole staff. Staff have got to be flexible and general and be prepared to do things. And someone that's raised the family has multitasking skills coming out of their ears.
Getting
literally.
Out the door by 8 and 8 in the morning.
And it's exactly that kind of organisation, ability type of skills that
Absolutely.
People want.
Mm-hmm. They work well under pressure too.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah. What do we do, Teresa, if we want to find out more about Kennedy Scott in general and your event tomorrow? Where can we go?
All of the information should be on our website, which is www.kennedyscott.co.uk. We have numerous case studies as well of past customers and employers we have worked with in order to achieve sustainable jobs. There are some really inspiring stories on there. They will make you cry, I'm sure, because they make me cry when they send them in to me. But all due respect to the staff that do a fantastic job in putting them in the right direction. And yes, there is definitely some TLC that goes in there. It's
absolutely.
Tough love in some cases.
You can tell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Teresa, thank you so much for that. Good luck with your event tomorrow. I will be there. I hope some of the other SMEs from Maidstone and Mid-Kent area
You're
will also
be
turn up.
Advising on nail varnish, will you?
I will be having lessons on painting my nails and stuff like that, yeah.
He won't.
No, I
won't. He's kidding.
We've had quite a bit of feedback on Twitter going through a lot of people agreeing about mums and their multitasking skills. And dads, come on, and dads.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely. No parents
nowadays
have a very challenging role, and they have a lot to offer from that role.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. But for the moment, Teresa, thank you so much for that. Good luck with the event tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there. Stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thanks a lot.
But for the moment, Teresa Scott, Chief Executive of Kennedy Scott. Fabulous, thank you.
And what I was going to say, if there are any Business Bunker listeners who would like to help with things like appearance or haircuts or hairstyling, if there are any businesses that want a little bit of PR marketing and want to offer some freebies, that would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be lovely if you want to come along and...
Good stuff.
Help out.
We've had loads of tweets, we've got loads of emails, and we've got some more guests to talk to. We've had a tweet from Expertise Home Care, the young ladies Natalie and Harriet, who say we're enjoying today's Business Bunker show, and we're looking forward to hearing from Porchlight and from Kennedy Scott, and that's in fact exactly what is happening. And Miriam saying, what about lipstick? But I missed the rest of the tweet.
She's also saying, yes, ladies have multitasking skills on tap. And more interestingly, she says that she knows one apprentice who travels 3 hours to get to work each way on a bike. So I don't know if that's Turkey or England, but pretty admirable. Mm. Now, there's a construction expo on this year that you can't afford to miss. and it says, "Dear Jules," with no mention of Paul Andrews, and it's Wednesday the 8th of October, 9 to 4.30. It's at the Kent Event Centre at Detling near Maidstone. That's on the Junction 7 of the M20. There's free parking. And this is the London and South East account for over 35% of the UK's local construction output. And it's the focal point for all professionals and suppliers targeting this industry. And with proposed developments as diverse as the Paramount theme park at Swanscombe and the Ebbsfleet New Garden City and Earls Court's 8 billion urban villages development, it's vital, they say, to keep informed on the major projects and to connect with the key players. And if you're involved or you'd like to be involved in this, you need to contact www.kentconstructionexpo.co.uk, and there are loads and loads of workshops. There are various people such as Kevin Gaskell, who's a former managing director of Porsche and BMW, Fenlon Dunphy, and I love his name, I say it every time, but I do love his name, Fenlon Dunphy. He's the director of LRCH. What is LRCH?
Sorry?
LRCH.
I don't know, you're reading
you
it.
You normally guess. LRCH. Anyway, Fenlon Dunphy, do you know him?
No.
We'll find out.
Oh, isn't he from LRCH?
Yeah, can't you Google it? Update on Paramount theme park. He must be somebody to do with Paramount theme park. If any listeners would like to Google LRCH, let us know. Tim Waggart from the Port of Dover, very interesting there, the Western Docks Revival Project. And also Max Farrell from Farrell's and Professor Will Allsop. Garden cities they'll be talking about. So fabulous there. Great idea. 9 to 4.30 at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, on the 8th of October, 9 a.m. Cool.
Miriam has responded to your question. The bicycling apprentice is in Rochester rather than Istanbul.
Well, that is really impressive. Mm-hmm. Really impressive.
Cool.
You know Kent Business Tweet Up?
Never heard of it.
It's this Thursday at Lindley's.
Roper Road, Canterbury.
Yeah, free parking.
Is Dennis still there?
Dennis, head of beds. He'll be there.
Now, how's his fire spring going?
Oh, lovely.
Is it nice?
Lovely. I often have a little lie down after the Kent tweet up, but I'll be introducing this Thursday Amy from AM Marketing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And she's going to be discussing Google, PPC and AdWords.
Fantastic.
And that's at 10 a.m, free for everyone. You can follow the account on at Kent TweetUps, and all details are on that website, kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
Can I give Amy a little mention? Because she's got a Facebook page, AM Marketing, which is really brilliant. I love reading it. She posts stuff on marketing fails and silly things and retrospective and old style adverts, and some of them are absolute blinding. They are really classic. They always make me chortle or something interesting. So do give her a follow on the Facebook, because they're brilliant, and she does at least one every day.
And listen, you'd love to see Paul Andrews chortle, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm good at chortling.
There's a business community breakfast with Peter Cook. He's the owner of Human Dynamics.
Mr. Peter Cook, who's been rubbing up alongside Sir Richard just recently.
Sir Richard Branson?
Yeah, yeah. Really? Last week he went and had a one-to-one with Sir Richard.
The lounge lizard himself.
Oh, of course, you weren't here, were you?
No.
Because Peter rang in and told us all about it.
I missed it. Was he on his chaise longue?
No, he went to see Sir
Richard
Branson.
Was he talking live with Sir Richard?
No, we were talking live with Peter,
okay,
who had just returned from a one-to-one meeting with
Well, hadn't he returned to the chaise longue by then?
No.
He was still standing up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, strangely enough, on Scoff and Quaff at 11 a.m, the Superior Show.
The what?
The Scoff and Quaff Show.
The what?
Scoff and Quaff Superior Show.
It.
You were on it last week, as I heard.
Oh, that was a good one. That was brilliant.
Richard Branson, we actually had the Branson Food Fest Awards run by Virgin. Yeah, Virgin, it's hashtag Virgin Fest. Anyway, Peter Cook, as you call him, Cookie, he's the owner of Human Dynamics Business and Organisation Development.
He's in Tallinn at the moment.
Where's Tallinn? Tallinn?
Go on, shout it out.
Estonia.
Yeah. Tallinn is the capital of Estonia.
Gosh,
and that is where he is right at this moment.
Very knowledgeable. Anyway, he's also the author of 7 books, and he's chairing a question and answer section at the next Business Community Breakfast, which is a date for your diary, Thursday the 9th of October, looming. And for details of that, you need to find the fabulous Ken Wheeler, ken@businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk, or go to www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk.
Pete's books are really worth reading.
They are.
They are really cool. My favourites are Sex, Leadership and Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And Punk HR. They're my two favourites. Yeah. They really are good business books.
You are a bit of a punk.
Thank you. There's a Macmillan Coffee Morning this Friday, the 26th of September, right next door to our studio at Katie's Bistro. So coffee and cake, Friday the 26th, in aid of Macmillan. Get along there, 10 a.m. onwards.
Kent and Victor Chamber After Hours Club, 6 to 7.30. There's no need to book, you can turn up. The next one is tonight at the Russell Hotel, 6 to 7.30 p.m. That's in Maidstone. Tuesday the 7th of October, Conningbrook Hotel, Ashford. Tuesday the 7th of October, Nucleus Business Innovation Centre in Dartford. Details, kentandvictorchamber.co.uk/events.
Cool. We've had a tweet from the Whitstable Stove Shop that says, "Hello, Vanilla Web. I'm listening in live for a change. Could you please mention if people want a log-burning stove before Christmas, they better get onto it right now because we're getting really busy."
He's alluding to me because I've been saying I want one. But there's always something else to buy, isn't there?
Really?
Like cars.
Yeah.
Cars.
You don't want to set fire to a car.
No.
You'd be much better off with a wood-burning stove.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't burn as brightly as a car, but a car, once it's burnt, it's gone, whereas a wood-burning stove lasts way past Christmas and everything.
I'm just thinking about driving a car.
What's wrong with a car you got?
No, I'm just thinking about your playlist.
You see, you're just trying to be a smarty, aren't you?
Have you changed it?
I'm going to change it just to annoy you.
He does that, listener. He changes it just to annoy me.
Yeah. No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, good. Well, I'm thinking about cars.
Nah, really?
Who's going to drive you home?
I've no idea. Yeah. Who's going to drive you home?
But luckily, you don't drink.
Actually, John's going to drive you home.
Yeah, because I do like a little tipple.
Yeah, for breakfast.
Post show.
Yeah, for breakfast.
Who's going to tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Who's gonna pick you up when you fall? Who's gonna hang it up when you call? Who's gonna pay attention to your
jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 23rd of September, with me, Paul Andrews, and Jules Serkin.
Chirping in now and then.
Yeah. Just a couple of quick tweets I want to read out. Helen Manning has said how she enjoyed listening to Teresa from Kennedy Scott, and also a listener I've not come across before, Aaliyah Brooke, who could be a new listener, who said thoroughly enjoyed listening to Kennedy Scott CEO Teresa Scott. So thank you for that, chaps. Good stuff. I'm going to read an email and get this out of the way, because it's going to cause much hilarity, and then we can talk sensibly to our next guests. It says, "Hello, Paul. I was at the Whitstable Tweet Up the other day, and everybody was saying good things about the Business Bunker show and what you do to promote local businesses. So I can hope you can give me a bit of airtime, please, to promote my crowdfunding campaign. I will attach a press release, but briefly, we're trying to crowdfund our mini snail farm trail." No. A mini snail farm trail, and it launches on Monday the 26th of September, so that was yesterday, and it has an educational purpose, and it's to raise money to give 50 mini snail farms to primary schools in areas across the UK where children will benefit most from contact with living things. My aim is to support teachers in extending the science curriculum, and any help you could offer will be gratefully received.
Who's this from?
That's from Helen Howard of H&RH Escargo.
Yeah. You know what they do.
And their website is www.snailfarm.org.uk. And they also have, you can follow them on the Twitter, which is at Mini Snail Farm. And they're trying to crowdsource money to have snail farms in primary schools, which is lovely.
Well, you know what Helen Howard does?
Yes, I do. And I do seem to remember she was a guest on Scoff and Quaff show.
Superior show.
And she rocked up one day with a bunch of snails and said, would I like them?
Didn't you accidentally eat
one? Well, I thought they're going to be, you know, in a pot with garlic butter and a bit of dipping bread. And I went, oh, yeah. And
protein.
She opened a box and they were live snails, which wasn't what I thought I was going to get at all.
But she actually, she's so clever because she sells snails to the French. She sells l'escargot to the Français.
But at the moment, she's not selling eatable snails. She's selling snail farms, or she's trying to crowdsource and raise funds to put some snail farms into primary schools.
But when the snail farms go in, will they be farming them to eat for the school lunches?
I wouldn't have thought so. But it's like, you know, because you have ant colonies and stuff in schools as well, don't you?
Do you?
Yeah.
You used to have bees.
No, you get them in a tank where you can see what they're doing and building it.
Did you used to have bees when you were at school? Or ants in your pants.
Yeah. So, but small-scale farming is a big issue now. Because you've got that, and cricket farming, as we know.
I love
it's big business, cricket farming.
Yeah. We eat them quite often on this show, you know.
We do indeed. We have been known to scoff quite a few crickets.
And the odd scorpion.
And, in fact, the odd scorpion.
Lightly toasted with some sesame oil.
Which was a bit crunchy. A
little bit.
But the crickets were nice.
You couldn't stop eating them.
Yeah, no. Well, Ben Bartlett from...
Bush Grub,
he's about to launch a protein bar made of crickets.
Lovely.
Because it has huge amount of protein in it and a very low amount of calories. Mm.
Well, this is the way forward because
A lot of the world already live on things like crickets and locusts, and it delivers a big, you know, being serious, it delivers a big protein punch for very small calorie amount and very low production costs.
Well, you know, my little lunch, I might have just
little lunch.
I might just have a little cricket and a little escargot in there then from Helen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Anyway,
should we talk to our guests?
I think we ought
to,
really, because, you know, I'm just getting bored listening to this. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. No, it's an absolute pleasure welcoming to the Business Bunker Show our next guests, Jane Redman and Mark Pinkney from Porchlight. Hi, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I don't mind who goes first, we can do it together, you know, whatever. Why don't you give us an overview of Porchlight and what you do, and then we can move on from there.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jane Redman and I'm the Partnerships Manager at Porchlight. And Porchlight started 40 years ago, so we're also celebrating a special birthday this year, just like Kennedy Scott. We started 40 years ago in Canterbury. We were called Canterbury Cyrenians. And it was started by one man called Tom Gifford, who had experienced homelessness and he wanted to help other people. And so he set up a hostel in Canterbury.
Right.
And over the last 40 years, it's grown from there. So we, our accommodation now is across the whole of Kent. We rebranded in 2008 to Porchlight, and we support people across the whole of Kent, and also we have a service in Croydon.
Okay. Can I just ask you a couple of questions there? You made reference a couple of times to kind of premises that you have. Do you actually provide accommodation for homeless people?
Yeah, sure. We have 11 accommodation projects across Kent.
Wow.
So we have 5 in Canterbury, 1 in Dover, Ramsgate, Ashford, Sittingbourne and Tunbridge. And they have various levels of support for people when they first come into the accommodation. And people stay from anything from 3 months, actually all the way up to 1 or 2 years.
I'm fascinated by this because are these premises that you guys own as a charity or, you know, how does it work?
Yeah, some of them we run on behalf, we're the service providers, so we run on behalf of other organisations. Mm. But we do own one of our young person's hostels in Canterbury called Newtown Street.
Right, okay. It's, one of the reasons I asked is I got an email the other day from a charity in West Kent called the Bridge Trust, if mm-hmm. I remember rightly. And they just emailed me and said, had I got a spare house I could let them have? And I searched everywhere, down the back of the sofa and all kinds of places, and I just couldn't find one, unfortunately. If I'd have had one, they would have been welcome to it, but I didn't. So I was just fascinated by that because, you know, as you know and everyone knows, the southeast of England is not exactly a cheap place to live at the best of times.
No.
Absolutely. So you've got quite a few centres around Kent.
We have, and our focus is very much on about providing long-term support in order to help people change their lives. Mm. That's what we're aiming to do. So that's more than just providing a roof over someone's head. Mm. We work with people to address any problems that they might have and the reasons that they became homeless in the first place. But we also run a whole range of activities that get people working together, a big focus on learning skills like cooking, budgeting, maintaining tenancies, so things that help people live on their own when they leave right. us, and crucially a really big focus on helping people back into jobs, education and training.
Okay. Please put me right on this, but one of the perceptions that people have of homeless people is that quite often the problem is either one of addiction or mental health issues. Is that reasonably correct, or is it a whole range of different issues that you face?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. We get asked it a lot. Mm. What's interesting is that out of all the people that we support, and that's 4,000 people a year across the county, between 25 and 27% roughly have a support need for drugs and alcohol
right.
Misuse. So that actually probably isn't as high as people
no,
think.
No, it's not. Yeah. No. Absolutely, it's not. No, that's a quarter.
Yeah. You've got marriage breakup too, which often happens.
Absolutely. I would say that bereavement and family breakup is the single biggest cause of homelessness.
Right, okay.
Often something happens, an event, and things spiral out of control from
sure.
there. But interestingly, about 60% in some of our services of people need support with mental health
right.
needs. So by far that is a bigger area of support mm. that we need to give.
Yeah.
And how are you finding the mental health support now, you know, from government changes and lack of finance? I mean, really, people with drug, alcohol and mental health, there's not an awful lot, in my opinion, from what I've seen.
Yeah, well, we work really closely with all the other agencies and organisations that do help people with drug and alcohol and mental health needs. I think it's a really complex area, and yeah. I think that's something that people don't really understand when they think about people who are homeless. They don't realise how many problems people have and all the issues that they are facing. Mm. So these things don't work in isolation. And what we do is try and support people kind of through a pathway, I suppose. It's a very holistic approach. We try and get them support for any mental health needs that they might have, and also drug and alcohol, alongside the issues that cause their homelessness.
Absolutely. And there's also, people don't always focus on what we mean by mental health issues, because it's a kind of circular argument, because a lot of mental health issues are about depression and stuff like that. And if you're homeless, jobless and got nothing, you tend to be a little bit depressed, you know? Not surprisingly. So, you know, it's self-fulfilling. And when people think of, you know, oh, you've got mental health issues, they think it's game over. But of course, it isn't remotely like that.
No, not at all. And I think Mark is here and here to talk to you about our work in employment. But certainly we find that the majority of people that we work with want to get back into work and are able to, despite some of the problems and the barriers that they've faced in the past.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Mark's going to tell us about this. But, you know, it would strike me that if organisations such as yours that are helping people to do just that will actually have a huge positive impact on the other things that impact their life, be they addictions or mental problems or, you know, depression problems or whatever. It, you know, it's a positive self-reinforcing cycle.
Without a doubt.
Well, let's hear from Mark. Mark, you're involved in the employability side of things, I understand.
I am indeed.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what your work and how you go about doing what you do.
Okay. So for the last year and a half, as a charity, we decided to take quite a bold step. And as Jane said there, when someone is going through difficulties and they're kind of looking on that pathway to sort of return back to sustainable living or sustainable employment, we decided that we was going to have a real focus on that. And we went out and we spoke to all of the projects that we run and all of the teams that are out there within Porchlight. And what we really wanted to do was get a clear message across that employment and getting a job is a really good way to stop being homeless, to kind of move on and actually attain independent living.
Absolutely. Okay. So, from your point of view, how does it work? How do people actually kind of get involved? You know, I don't want to sound really callous about this, but you know, you don't walk around the streets going, "Wait, you're homeless. You come and talk to us."
Or do you?
Yeah.
Well, we do have a team of outreach workers who work all across Kent. They go out very early in the morning and very late at night to kind of find these people and kind of get them off the streets. Mm-hmm. And then once they're involved and they're starting on the pathway towards employment, which is the ultimate goal, what we try and do is we try and intervene and we try and make that process as easy as possible. We use agencies as Teresa was saying, around like Kennedy Scott, and it's all about kind of making it very, very easy for the service user to kind of engage with all of the services that are out there to start to get back to work. Because if you've got a job, if you've got a sustainable income, it's then a hell of a lot easier to hold down a tenancy. And then, like we were saying earlier on with mental health, you know, it goes round and round in circles. But if you've got employment or you've got something to focus in on, it just makes it a little bit easier when you kind of try and, you know, when you try and move on into independent living.
But let's look at someone like, for example, Peaches Geldof, who has loads and loads of money, very privileged life. She couldn't fight the heroin. So you've got that extreme. There was no help for her, even at that end of the market, where she could have gone to the Priory or, you know, any of the... What help can you actually give to a young drinker or person that's drinking?
It's really interesting because, you know, we've got several young person services within Porchlight, and they range from, you know, children as young as 11 all the way through to kind of 18 to 25-year-olds. What we were trying to do is, obviously, we were trying to address the problem, first of all. And once we've addressed that problem, we could then work with other agencies. And then... You know, we're not saying we can cure those problems, but we can certainly start to kind of help to address them and start to move people forward.
But how do you address it?
As an organisation?
Do you start off with a GP of the person, or do you do it internally? Or?
It's a mix of the both. It's a mix of both. Especially with young people, sometimes it can be quite a difficult and quite a hard journey to kind of get to that point of, you know, even admitting that there is a problem.
They've got to acknowledge it.
Exactly. But once we've got that buy-in, and again, anyone who kind of comes into Porchlight, they have to be, they have to agree to want to, to want to address these things. You know, it is part of the pledge that they make to us. So we then, at the other end of the scale, when we are looking at work and looking at employment, it then just makes it easier to kind of, you know, start to move people forward.
Absolutely. It's exactly in tune with what Teresa was saying earlier, isn't it? It's about giving each individual person some tender, loving care.
Yep.
And you know, I know it's a metaphor that's well used, but it's like eating an elephant. You have to do it one bite at a
Definitely.
Time. You can't take a mob of people and find a solution to all of their problems in one go. You have to attack these things one person at a time, look at the individual needs
Correct.
Of that person and and presumably work with the agencies relevant to that person.
That's right.
And their place in life and where they are at the moment.
And the really interesting thing has been is, you know, especially a focus on young people, once we've addressed those problems and we've addressed those issues, what we then do is we would then sit down with them and say, where do you want to go from here? You know, do you want to go back to college? Do you want to go into training, university or employment? And, you know, 99 times out of 100 people will say, you know what, I really want to get a job. You know, I've always been very keen on maybe a university course or whatever. And once we've got that buy-in, it makes it really easy for us to go out and talk to employers and say, you know, we've got this young person here, we've got this person here who has been homeless, this is what they've been doing for the last 2 years, would you be prepared to give them a go? And, you know, we've had some fantastic support from some big employers out there, people like Asda, Serco, Southeastern Trains, who have taken our service users on board, and you know, a large majority have ended up getting paid employment there as well,
which is fantastic news. In line with what I was saying earlier, though, about the change in the job market and a move towards more SMEs, it's harder for organisations like you to engage SMEs with enough jobs and the skills and everything to help. So that's a challenge that we all need to rise to in some way, because it's a pattern that isn't going to go away. More and more employment is going to be with small businesses. Small businesses themselves don't have the resources to deal with unusual situations. So it's something that's got to be done in partnership.
Definitely.
From your point of view, what are some of the things that as an organisation Porchlight need from the business community, or indeed anyone out in the community, to help you guys do the job that you do?
Okay, the thing that we're crying out for in all areas in Kent are employers who are willing to give someone a chance.
Right.
We're not talking about paid employment here. Obviously, that is the end goal. What we really, really appreciate is employers out there who are willing to give maybe someone a work trial, a week's work experience, a work placement. In the last year, we've had over 160 of our service users that have gone out and either undertaken a work placement or work experience, and of that 42 got paid employment in the last financial year.
Fantastic.
And that only came about from employers saying, do you know what, we will give this person a chance as well. The other thing that's really important to this and really key to this is fundraising, which I'm sure Jane will talk a little bit more about as well.
Absolutely.
What about what about training? You know, I'm thinking of someone like Alex Waterton, FKeys. Work skills.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. We work with quite a few training providers. And again, what we're really looking for, maybe some of the more specialist training providers. You know, there are lots of people out there who would sort of do the basic English and maths, and that's great and that's fantastic, and we have lots of people that engage in that. But what would be really beneficial would be the training providers that offer maybe something slightly different.
Yeah, well, that's in terms of what Jules was saying, Alex Waterston, who's a regular listener and he's in fact listening at the moment.
Fantastic.
He runs a company called FKeys, and he's a Microsoft trainer.
Brilliant.
So he trains in accredited Microsoft training skills. So that kind of thing is highly employable as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's cool. Any small businesses out there listening to this, especially in the East Kent area where you're very well known, I know you deal right across the county these days, but you do tend to have a high profile in East Kent, but that's neither here nor there. But so any small businesses out there, what can they do if they want to get involved? Or just, you know, maybe at this stage they don't want to commit. Yeah, no, because they're not sure what's involved, but they'd like to find out more. What can they do?
Well, there's lots of ways that we work with companies. So if they particularly wanted to help us and focus on employment, then they can contact Porchlight head office, and they can contact either me or Mark. So that phone number is 01227 760078. I would encourage everyone to take a look at our website, which is www.porchlight.org.uk. But the other ways that we work with companies as well, it's, as I said, it's our 40th anniversary this year. And our focus is very much about building relationships with companies. Right. It takes time to get to know us sometimes, and we like to get to know the companies that support us. And we do have some fantastic support. So the immediate things that companies can do to get involved are we have a big event called Purple for Porchlight coming up in October.
Purple for Porchlight.
We only do alliteration at Porchlight.
Okay. is that my nail varnish?
if you like, purple nail varnish. But it's as simple as that. Right. We encourage, it's to mark World Homeless Day, which is the 10th of October, but companies get involved throughout the whole of October. And it can be as simple as dressing up in purple for the day, wearing a purple tie, purple socks, purple nail varnish, and paying a couple of pounds towards Porchlight. Deeson, last year, one of our corporate supporters based in Canterbury, they did a purple bake-off, which seems to be very popular. We had 24 Barclays branches across Kent taking part in Purple for Porchlight, so they sent all their branches purple for the day and raised money for us. So if people would like to get involved with that, they can find out more information from our website or again call our head office. And tying in with the work that Mark has just been talking about, that work is entirely voluntary funded, which right. means that we don't get any statutory funding for that work. The charity is fundraising towards that work. And we have launched a new scheme called Porchlight Employability Sponsors, which is companies that are willing to make a commitment of £500 or more per year, and they become a Porchlight Employability Sponsor, and that money goes directly towards funding the work that Mark does in helping people get back into work. And we've already got Holiday Extras and Pfizer, Mount Ephraim Gardens who have signed up, which is fantastic.
Brilliant.
And those companies are also working with us to help with things like mock interviews, CV writing, developing employability skills.
Let's face it, 500 quid is nothing, really, is it?
For
a business, it's really not a lot. So, come on, all of you out there, even small businesses, you can afford 500 quid for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is not difficult, is it? Come on. Get in your pockets, all of you, send it now.
Yeah. No, the website.
Stop messing about.
Give us your money.
Yeah.
The website is www.porchlight.org.uk.
One of the other things, and I became aware of this too late to join in, because I would have liked to have joined in, but you guys also did a thing in Canterbury a while back, which was a sleep out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Lenley's Jonathan Watts did that.
He did. Yeah. He did it last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is organised by the Rotary Sunrise of Canterbury Group, who are fantastic supporters of ours and have been over a number of years. And they organised a big sleep out last year, which was in the Canterbury Cathedral grounds. It was for Porchlight and Catching Lives, which is another charity that helps homeless people based in Canterbury. And it raised £34,000, which was fantastic.
Brilliant.
Like, extraordinary amount of money, and that makes a real difference. It's something that they're hoping to do on a regular basis.
Right.
So there will be another chance, Paul, for you to get involved. Or you could always organise your own sponsored sleep out for us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Channel Radio one.
Yeah. See, if I did it, nobody would come with me. I'm not sleeping with you. For money, really.
Unless you had a nice dog.
No, I think that's fascinating. Funnily enough, when I was tweeting earlier in the week about your appearance on the show, one of our listeners from the Tunbridge Wells area, Amanda Wells, said, oh, my daughter made a film about this last year, and she posted a link to the YouTube video that she made at school as part of being homeless was about, and I reposted the video.
Great.
And it was really interesting, as well as the fact it was a really well-made video by the kids at the school.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I don't know what the name of their school was that did it, or Amanda's daughter's name, but the video was brilliant, and that kind of awareness really does wake people up, though,
yeah.
doesn't it? And that's one of the things I liked about this sleep out thing, about, you know, to just experience, even albeit in a fun way, really, of what it's like to sleep outdoors and be homeless just for one night.
And let's have a tip. When we do pass, I go through past Phoenix, down the subway, there's usually a couple of people down there in the subway. What is your advice when you're passing them? Because I always feel horrible. I either blankly ignore them, or I look sheepish, or I give them a bit of money. I don't do the coffee and sandwich things. I've never got it on me. So what's your advice?
We have a campaign called Don't Just Walk Past, and it encourages exactly that. People often don't know what to do, and they feel intimidated, and they want to do something to help, but they
Especially
don't know what.
Especially in those subways, you feel really odd.
Yeah, so we have something called Don't Just Walk Past, and it's for members of the public can let us know if they see someone who they think is sleeping rough, and a member of our rough sleeper team will go out and try and find that person, engage them into our services. I'm just trying to find our helpline number, because we have got a helpline number, and I'll get that for you,
so
and perhaps you could read it out and let people know.
You rummage in your handbag.
Yes.
If you can't find it now, don't worry. We'll find it at a later date, and we will put it all on the Kent Business Radio website, as well as being on today's show, which is show number 192. We actually have a community page on the website where we list all these kind of things anyway, so we will put it on there for people to follow up and find out.
Brilliant, thank you.
But also, if you email us anything that you're doing, or you know, any special events or anything you're doing, we're always happy to promote those and to push them out and to read them out and to get people engaged.
Fabulous, thank you.
And the number is, listener, it's 0800 567 7699, so you need to put that in your mobile phone.
And that's a helpline.
It is a 24-hour helpline.
That's correct.
And also, we've had a lovely offer from Teresa Scott, our guest here from Kennedy Scott, and she said that you know the bistro that's doing the Friday McMillan coffee.
Katie Spitzer,
which is next door. She said for every job that they place people in, or every job that they get in for placements, Kennedy Scott will donate £2 towards the Millennium Fund. So that's a lovely, lovely gesture. Thank
you very much. Fantastic. Thank you. We'll let them know. Thank you very much for that. That's brilliant.
And all the SMEs, get going with your jobs.
I'm a bit sad sometimes, because I'm a bit like that. When I walk past some people, especially in subways, I tend to give them advice. Like, if you're going
to...
If you're trying to get money, you're in the wrong place. And they go, what? I go, you don't want to do it down here because it intimidates people. I'll tell you, far better place where you can make far more money. And they normally ignore me, quite, which they should do really anyway.
The thing is, in those subways, you feel, as a woman, you feel vulnerable and you feel trapped.
I mean, you understand why they're there, because they're out of the weather and it's a reasonably warm and secure place for them to be. But it's intimidating for anyone walking past. And as a business proposition, it ain't going to work. No, this is my only point.
Do you remember, I don't know if you guys were there, maybe 5-6 years ago, there was a lovely guy, I believe his name was John, who died sadly, but he used to stand outside the cinema and he was fantastic, really intelligent guy, everybody loved him, and he was found dead in his, you'd found him accommodation, might be before your time, but I'll have to look up the press, he was fab, and when he died, there was a huge, you know, sort outpouring. I think it was his sister and he was clean and he was off the booze and
There's a really interesting point there, actually. Sorry, just to cut in, is that a lot of people, this is a revolving door, and you know, we have a lot of people who kind of get into Porchlight and end up in one of our hostels, and we support them, and you know, sometimes we do all this great work, and then for whatever reason people do find themselves homeless again. So I think it's really, really important that, you know, when the listeners do see people out on the streets, you know, pick up the phone, make that phone call. We have, as I say, a 24-hour helpline, and you know, someone will get out and help them. That's the best thing they can do.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Rents are expensive.
Absolutely. We could talk about this for a long, long time. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a quick shout for your website again, just so that people can find out more about the work of Porchlight.
Okay, it's www.porchlight.org.uk.
Cool. And for the purposes of today and our listener base, what we'd like is all those SMEs out there to engage with someone like Porchlight, and just find out, you don't have to commit to anything, just find out what it's about, get to know them, find out if there's any way you might be able to help. If you can't, that's fine. But just make yourself known and find out a little bit more about what would be involved in giving some of these guys some work experience and just helping them to go that next level. That would be great. So please do that. Either contact Porchlight directly, or if you don't feel like doing that, you can contact me and I will put you in touch with the relevant people. Yeah. So do that, please. For the moment, Jane and Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and all power to you, and keep on keeping on.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Pleasure. We've got a few minutes left of the show. I've got loads of tweets coming in about all that kind of stuff. A lot of them we're going to have to follow up after the show, but I'm sure, you know, people will do that. I've got loads of emails to read, and I'm sure you've got some stuff left as well, Jules, too.
Tonight, there's Tuesday the 30th of September, tonight at Chilston Park, Lenham, near Maidstone, there is... Oh, this is gone, so I'm throwing that away. Okay. It was this morning.
I've had a tweet from Sally Laker, and she says, hello from Whitstable, is it gilet time yet?
And I've answered, we're in an Indian summer, so not quite yet. I'm still in my sandals, are you?
Yeah, I made a Jules-type mistake the other day. I was talking about France... And I was talking about holiday homes in France, and I referred to one as a gilet.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's not a sleeveless jacket.
No, it's a gite.
It was a gite. I meant a gite, and I knew what I meant, but I actually said gilet.
May we? Terrible faux pas there. Yeah,
absolutely.
We'd like to invite you to our next meetup, and this is Friday, the 26th of September, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30. It's at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable. And it is, there's a Joan Mackerel, she's not fishy at all, artist enameller, and she'll talk about her work and successful career. And the details are, you can email Natalie, she's French, at kentcreativearts.co.uk or 01795 597 576. That's the Horsebridge, Friday 26th of September, 9:30.
Cool. There's some networking breakfasts with business being organised by the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce. All of these take place between 8 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. and they include full English breakfast. And these are the following places that you can go. On Friday the 3rd of October, the Mercure Tunbridge Wells, that's at Pembury. Also on the Friday the 3rd of October, there's Cineworld Rochester in Strood. On Friday the 10th of October, the Bridgewood Manor Hotel, that's at the top of Bluebell Hill in Rochester. On Friday the 31st of October at the Hilton Maidstone Hotel in Maidstone. Tuesday the 11th of November at AMF Bowling at Ashford. And Wednesday the 12th of November at the Best Western Manor Hotel in Gravesend. There you can find out all about those on the kentinvicta.co.uk chamber website. And on Thursday the 13th of November at Maidstone Museum, there's a special meeting with guest speaker Zoe Cairns, late of this parish. And the cost of all of this is for members £15 and for non-members £20. And you can find out all about the events at the Kent Invicta Chamber at the kentinvictachamber.co.uk website.
A search begins for the 2014 London and South East Directors of the Year competition. They're looking for business leaders across the whole of London and South East, and they're invited to attend the prestigious awards.
Prestigious.
2014 London and South East Director of the Year. This is open to members and non-members of the Institute of Directors. And the awards bring together company directors from a variety of backgrounds and recognising their qualities as business leaders. And you need to go to iod.com and then /connecting local networks. Your phone's ringing.
It is indeed.
See who's calling.
See who it is.
See who it is. Hopefully it's not.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello. It's Channel Radio here.
Why is Mrs. Sirkin available?
I'm afraid she's not available at the moment because we're live on air.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye.
Oh, it would be for me, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. It's one of your fan club.
It sounded suspiciously like a sales call, didn't it?
It sounded suspiciously like someone from Spain.
Yeah. No!
Yes, it did. Hello, we have a stuffed donkey. This is Alicante Airport. And Mrs. Sirkin has left her stuffed donkey in our Alp.
I tried so hard to get your sombrero out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, let's go back to this. Entries are open until Monday the 15th of September. That's gone.
Why are you reading them then?
Well, who gives them to me? I know, I was supposed to go through them before,
hold on, you didn't read that properly. It says entries open.
Oh yeah, I did read it properly, but I misunderstood it.
Open on the 17th of, yeah. On the 15th of September.
I misconstrued it.
Yes, but it's still open, so you can still do it.
So start
cause
now.
Because it only opened on the 15th yeah. of September.
You see, this is why the show works, because you're the clever one, and I'm just, you know... know nothing about geography. Kent Creative Arts, this is a group coaching in Faversham, Wednesday the 24th of September, that's this Wednesday, 6 to 8.30 at the Phoenix Tavern in Faversham. So we've had two Phoenixes on the show, our sponsors, and the Phoenix Tavern in Faversham, Paul
Absolutely.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say we've got loads of other things going on. On the 24th of October, Friday 24th of October, is the South East Business Show, B2B South East, at the Copthorne Hotel, Effingham Park. So do get along to that. It's free to go. There's three free seminars, over 100 exhibitors and loads of networking, and it's all free, free car parking.
Free.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday the 24th of October. At the Effingham Park Hotel Copthorne, the Business South East show. Also, for those of you of a certain age, this will appeal.
That'll be you.
I'm not even talking to you. There's a special evening of laughter and music with Freddie Parrotface Davis.
Oh, I'm thick
up to here. And it's the Funny Bone Show, and it's a show for all the family, and it's happening at St Mary's Bay Village Hall, that's down here at Dymchurch, on Sunday the 23rd of November at 7 p.m. in the evening, and tickets are a measly £14 on the night, or if you buy for them in advance, it's you can have a concession at 10 or a £12 ticket.
So less than measly then.
Absolutely. If you'd like a ticket, you can call 07831 eight, oh, I can't read this, too small, 558907. I'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website.
Do you think we should just give up and wear glasses? Because we're both squinting.
That would spoil my whole demeanour if I wore glasses.
I know, they'd have to perch on your nose.
They would indeed.
And what a nose. The Brownies, they've got a business networking.
That was horrible.
At the Best Western Abbots Barton Hotel. This is supported and attended by the FSB, Federation of Small Business. And it's this Thursday at 12 till 2, that's the 25th of September, and it's £10 a person. So that'll be lunch and a chocolate brownie. And I'm very partial to these chocolate brownies. And this is the new...
it's your one weakness, isn't it?
It is my chocolate one weakness, chocolate. But well, because Will, the chef there, I happen to know, makes me a mean gluten-free one. This is Christine Cooper, who's taken over from the tall one. And she's the manager, and this is her email, manager@abbotsbartonhotel.com. And the speaker is Matt Hudson of Business Computer Solutions. Do you know him?
No, I don't think I do.
Gosh, it's someone in Kent you don't know.
Sure.
The IOD in Kent has got a Let's Get Creative. Kent has always been a centre for creative excellence, they say, and it's now on the international map. With high-profile projects including Paramount Park at Swanscombe and the reimagining of Dreamland Margate, the world's eyes are on Kent and the talent that we have. So you need to go to Village Hotel Maidstone on the 25th of September to have an IOD Let's Go Creative meeting. It's 5:30 to 7:30 and you go to www.iod.com. I used to do the PR for Dreamland when it was before it burnt down.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and John Nurden.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm going to that meeting.
Are you?
Yeah.
In Swanscombe?
No, at the Village Hotel.
Oh, right, sorry. Maidstone. Something was at Swanscombe.
No, it wasn't Swanscombe. It was Village Hotel, Maidstone. That's where I'm going anyway. And as I'm doing the keynote speech there, everybody else ought to be there too.
Because
if they all go
September.
To Swanscombe and I'm in Maidstone, that ain't going to work, is it?
25th
September. Because I've got a big voice, I couldn't reach Swanscombe from there.
25th of September?
Yeah, that's this week.
5:30?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going everywhere?
Yeah, I know.
All in your paisley dressing gown?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Your clogs?
Yeah, and my smoking jacket.
These are too long to read, Paul Andrews. I'll save them for next week.
Don't read them then.
No, they're too
record
long.
Levels of R&D tax credit claims by smaller firms. Claims for research and development tax credit by smaller firms have risen by 30% to the highest level since the scheme was launched in 2000. R&D tax credits... tax reliefs encourage innovation and increased investment in research and development and apply to many sectors, supporting firms to develop innovative products and processes. Over 13,000 R&D tax credit claims worth £600 million were made under the Small and Medium-Sized Enterprise Scheme in 2012-2013, up from £430 million claimed in the previous year. In England, the highest number of claims were made in the South East, with 2,435 claims. So it is really a worthwhile scheme if you are doing research and development and investing in your small business and growing your business and employing more people. You can get help from HMRC to actually get R&D tax credits. There are a number of organisations around that will help you do that. Your own accountants can do that. One of the biggest, and someone that we're going to have on the show in a few weeks' time, is Rift in Ashford, but there are other firms around that help you do it. Mm. But do look into that, because it is a great way of funding research, development and growth of your small business. We've had loads more tweets. I've had a tweet from Alamo, which is a Moroccan restaurant over there in Whitstable, a restaurant that I have frequented one or two times, underneath the arches at the railway viaduct in Whitstable. Fabulous
song
place.
There.
Yeah, and they say, we are listening in our Moroccan kitchen to the Business Bunker Show, and we are listening to Teresa and Mark and Jane.
Aww.
And that is from Ali and Mo.
Yes, and can you imagine they'd be making up, knocking up a little tagine.
A little tagine on the boil right now.
Maybe some couscous royale.
Yeah, a bit of donkey cheese to follow.
Yeah, lovely.
Do you reckon?
Super. Very Moroccan.
Yeah. Spitfire Speed Networking on the 2nd of October, 12 to 2pm, 2 hours of casual networking with like-minded local professionals, and it includes lunch. And it's £5 a person, including lunch.
Wow.
What's not to like about that?
Exactly.
And it's at the Kings Hill Golf Club, Fortune Way, Kings Hill. And you can register your attendance by emailing info@coreifa, that's all one word, coreifa.co.uk. info@coreifa.co.uk, Spitfire Speed Networking at the Kings Hill Golf Club on the 2nd of October.
Do you know, you put your heart and soul into that, even the spitting, I noticed, with Spitfire. Very good.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
I had to work up to that.
Tell me again who our sponsors were.
Phoenix Analysts Limited.
Very good.
Why did you want me to do that? Well, to see if you can make me spit again.
Yeah, no, I was thinking we've mentioned Phoenix twice in the show.
So they rose from the ashes, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. It's almost working. I've had a tweet. Do you remember Bogdan Alex?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, that came on the show. Young lad that started a business.
Whippersnapper.
Yeah. Very young lad. Started a business doing corporate videos and stuff like that. Mm. And he got the opportunity to make a TV program or a YouTube-based program, but for a TV program. And it said, I promised to let you know what the ratings were for on my EP program. He said, I got 150,000 viewers.
Wow.
Which apparently was 5 times more than the average for the show. So they've asked us to return for a case study. Mm. So what a fabulous achievement.
That is.
Well done. Well done, Bogdan.
Yeah, well done. Dan.
Well done, mate. And keep on keeping on.
That's the kiss of the business bunker guest, you see.
Yep. We're at the end of the show, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today. So I'd like to say a big thank you to our guests, Teresa Scott, CEO of Kennedy Scott, Mark Pinkney and Jane Redman of Porchlight. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of you for listening in to the Kent Business Radio website. We will be back next week. Coming up on Channel Radio at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cowan with Extra Milk. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery with his stripy socks. At 7 o'clock, beer, birds, balls and bands.
Down the pub
with Phil and Jonathan. Yeah. And then, for your delight, handpicked 18 new tracks of unsigned, up and coming and new.